In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 year ago, on Easter Sunday 2020, I was alone in the sanctuary of the church I was serving, preaching into a laptop that was live streaming the service. I think you did something similar here. We were in the early stages of the pandemic then. Lockdowns had just been ordered by the government. It was all new and strange and very scary. It's been a long, rough year. More than 500,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. A few of our members have had the disease, and one passed away, our dear brother in faith, Larry. Thankfully, we are seeing some signs that we are starting to emerge from the pandemic. Vaccines have been created. They're being widely distributed. In many places, we're seeing a drop in the number of new cases of the coronavirus, although there are still pockets of surges around us. But slowly, things are getting better and back to normal. We are very grateful to be able to have this service live and in person on Easter Sunday. On Easter, we proclaim that Jesus Christ rose triumphant from the grave, victorious over sin and death. If that is true, and it most certainly is, Jesus' victory applies to every facet of our lives, including the COVID-19 pandemic. People ask, why did this pandemic happen? Not biologically why it happened, but theologically and spiritually why it happened. Many people ask, is God trying to tell us something? Specifically, some people ask, is God punishing us? We'll see what Easter has to say about that. We don't want to rush into quick, simple answers about these questions surrounding the coronavirus. Life is usually too complicated for that. I heard someone say, God is telling us that we need each other. Well, certainly we do need each other, but God is far too loving to send a pandemic just to communicate that truth to us. Others say, God is punishing sin. And again, certainly sin deserves to be punished, but we can't draw a one-to-one correspondence between suffering with COVID and particular sins. Such questions about God's nature and human suffering deserve a more thorough, more nuanced answer, an answer informed by Jesus' death and resurrection, the good news of Easter. Life in the Garden of Eden is how God originally intended our lives to be, free from danger. Hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes did not threaten us. Wild animals did not bite us. Viruses did not infect us. But our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. They broke the one rule that God gave them, and sickness, sin, and disease entered our world. Sickness and death are the consequences of sin, and those consequences are passed down from generation to generation all the way down to us. We are infected by sin, both the people we laud as saints and those who we castigate as sinners. The coronavirus can't tell the difference between a devout Christian and a militant atheist, between a genuinely nice person and someone who's much less than nice. That sin, disease, and death are so ubiquitous is humbling. Before the pandemic, we may have looked at our jobs and our pension funds and felt financially secure. Before COVID-19 hit, we may have been confident that modern medical science and our healthcare system could take care of any disease that came along. We used to think that there would always be enough milk, bread, and tissue paper to go around. I never thought I would see empty shelves at Walmart and people scrambling to get the little things that were left, which were usually dented cans of sauerkraut and turkey bacon. And I especially never thought that I would be one of those people scrambling. Now, we all see just how fragile life is and how vulnerable we are. That's where faith comes in. There's many ways that faith can be defined. One way is that faith is our recognition of our absolute dependence on God. Ultimately, it's not technology or the government or our own strength and ingenuity that can save us either in this life or the next. We can only fully rely on God alone. God didn't look down at human beings and say, "I'm going to send the coronavirus to remind people that they need me." God is always telling us that we need him in a million different ways. Even a quick little peek at the Bible will show us that. But if we are smart, if we are spiritually sensitive, we can look at this pandemic tragedy, wherever it came from, and see it as an opportunity to affirm and live out our faith. Especially, the pandemic has given us the opportunity to glorify God and to bring the good news of Christ's resurrection to our neighbors by lovingly, humbly serving them. Did God send the coronavirus? No. Can God and can we use this opportunity, this situation, to glorify him? Yes, we can. When the church doors were closed and we couldn't have public worship services, we learned something, or at least we were reminded of something we might have forgotten. We were reminded that the church is not just a building. The church is the people of God gathered around word and sacrament. Throughout history, Christians have been very creative when they needed to be, meeting in small groups in places like catacombs, smuggling Bibles to one another, and passing on the faith from one generation, teaching another by telling the Jesus story and sharing their traditions. We, and many other churches, got creative during the pandemic. Recording and broadcasting services on the internet was brand new to me. We ramped up the quantity and the quality of our electronic communications to our members and friends. We even did a car parade through Wellsville last Palm Sunday that we recreated last week, and that was an opportunity to show the community that Christ is alive and so is his church. We have witnessed, we have served, we have praised. These things are only possible because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. One of my favorite scriptures says that weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. Christian history has taught us that they can put truth in a grave, but they can't keep it there. Death certainly could not hold Christ. He is alive. And we know that because Jesus lives, we will live too. We have the promise of life everlasting beyond the grave, beyond the gates of death. Not only that, we also have the promise of abundant life before we die. What I mean is that knowing that heaven lies ahead of us, we can live in this world boldly and authentically, loving and serving our neighbors without the fear of death. This sanctuary may have been empty a year ago, but there were justified, sanctified people. Those people were you, praising God where you were, teaching your children by word and example, and serving your neighbors in that time of crisis. Now, here we will be on Easter Sunday morning by God's grace, back in God's house, feasting on his word and feasting on the sacrament. We have looked COVID-19 in the eye, and we can look anything that threatens us in the eye in the future and say, is that all you got? Bring it on. You can close our churches, but we will still worship. You can make us sick and poor, but we will still serve our neighbors and share what we have. You can even kill us, but we will rise again. You see, we have a mighty Savior who is much stronger than you are. He is our brother Jesus Christ, and he will defeat you. We know that that's true because he died and he rose again. Nothing can stop us because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. When the women found the tomb empty where Jesus' body had been buried, they were told to go proclaim the resurrection. You have heard God's word. You will receive his body and blood. Christ is truly present here among us today. He says he will be wherever two or three are gathered in his name. We will leave here today, and we will go out, and we will be Christians in the world. We can turn the world upside down in a good way with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make that good news go viral. Tell the world by what you do and by what you say that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia.